Hi, everyone. Welcome back to 9 to 5 Mom with the Pod. I am your host, Francesca. As you can hear and listen to my voice, it sounds terrible because I've been sick this entire weekend. So I apologize. But today, besides all of that, we have an amazing guest. We have a guest who is really Kaylin Asher. Let me tell you. Welcome, Kaylin, by the way. Thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you, Francesca. I'm excited to be here.
Let me tell you guys, Kaylin is amazing. We were talking about in this pre-interview about we're going to talk about this topic today. How about people skip the way most people skip in business decisions? And Kaylin is going to kind of walk through us about identity, then strategy, and we're just going to talk about all of that. So I know that 9 to 5 Mom with the Pod is about creative work and also motherhood, but today I want to hone in and focus on those moms who are really wanting to sort of start a career in coaching and diving into that business or any type of business, really, but most specifically coaching, because that's what Kaylin really focuses on. And we're going to guide you step by step. So first thing is first with Kaylin, I want to ask her, because this is a big thing. A lot of the times we talk about identity first and then strategy. But I know of a lot of people, moms especially, that do it in reverse. They do strategy and then identity. So when you say identity first, what do you mean in practical terms?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. It's so easy in this day and age when we can just go on Instagram and scroll, and within seconds, there's 50 people telling us the right strategy to start our business, to grow our business, to make more money, to get more Instagram followers. It really seems like strategy is the thing that will unlock the money, unlock the growth, unlock the clarity, get you to that next level. I've definitely played into that, fallen into that over the years at different times. But when I really reflected on my own journey, and I've been a coach for over 10 years, and really noticed the patterns with my most successful clients, what happened first for them, and what's happened first for me in my own journey, is before a real growth spurt or before a real up level or unlocking that business idea or that next level of income you've been reaching for, there comes an identity shift, a claiming within yourself of who you are becoming. And that anchors first, and then the strategy follows. And so now I'll give an example that's actually not business related. A few years ago, I was at a place where I was feeling just kind of blah about my eating habits, my health habits. And instead of just reaching outside of myself for another diet to follow or another program to get an app on my phone where I track my calories or whatever, I asked myself a different question. I said, what would it take? I'm 40 now. It's like, what would it take to get in the best shape of my life by the time I turn 40? And that was like 2 years away. And that question then unlocked a new identity that was available to me of, oh, okay, well, if I am the woman who is moving towards being the best shape she's ever been in, that would look like nourishing myself in a totally different way. That would look like resting in a really deep way. That would look like different workouts, pushing myself harder at the gym. That would mean investing in a coach and a trainer who could actually guide me and hold me to this level of accountability. And suddenly all of the strategy, like boom, 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 clicked in because I had anchored the identity first. And that's what we have the opportunity to do in our own lives and our businesses all the time, instead of constantly seeking for that external validation of like, what's that next thing I'll see on Instagram or will pop up for me, and hopefully from the outside solve this internal thing, this internal issue that's coming up for me. How can I decide first and foremost who I want to be in this moment and what then actually aligns with that? Because it allows our decisions to become a lot clearer too. So that's my roundabout, long-winded answer to your question, but I really wanted to give a practical example because Otherwise, it can just feel like words, like identity before strategy. But this is a really practical approach to decision making in your life, in your business, how to evaluate what's truly the right path for you.
You're right. I came from PodFest. I was traveling this past weekend, and my presentation was last week on Friday. So anyway, long story short, my presentation was about how to build a brand around a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And my most famous slide is the mindset slide. A lot of people post my presentation were coming to me and asking me, I know that you talked about mindset because that's the first step. But the one thing about mindset is about changing your identity of who you see yourself, which is exactly what you said earlier in the conversation. I agree. Just circling back a little bit to what you said, I agree that social media has become this place where everyone is, I myself too, I count there too, we are all chasing something because we see other people chasing something. So we lose grasp of what our original identity was, something that you're really good at, something that you can actually follow and monetize that particular passion. And I see this like 100 times a day when I'm on social media. Coaching platforms, coaching courses, coaching apps. This is your three-step strategy on how to lose 30 pounds in 3 days. This is your four-step framework to, you know, get 100,000 followers in 4 days. It's all quick, but it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't change who you are as a person. It doesn't change your identity. And you know, it's all about the mindset. So, for example, in your point about weight and health, that's mm-hmm. the same thing. I can jump into, I mean, how many diets have I done in my lifetime? I'm pushing 40. So I'm not that far away. I'm 2 years away. But how many diets have I done in my lifetime? Probably a dozen more, maybe at this point.
Oh yeah. As women, I mean, we grew up in the like heavy diet culture. If you're around 40,
yes.
We saw our moms dieting. It's just what we were raised in.
Thank you. And with that, I never changed the way I see food until recently that I was telling my husband, because I mean, we have to learn at this point. I reached to the point where I'm like, I don't want to do any more diets. I think I just need to change my relationship with the food, you know, and that's part of changing your identity. That's an example in health. But as far as business goes, everyone's always like, well, I can just, you know, strategize and plan how this business is going to be, and then it's all going to be fine. But you're missing the whole point. You haven't identified who you are first and what that particular person will look like. So what do you think is the biggest mistake people make when they start strategizing before identity?
Yeah, I think what happens when we are grasping at strategies, mm-hmm. you know, these quick fix things, and you said it so well, it's about really big wins in a really short amount of time. Mm-hmm. That is the promise we see time and time again in our culture. So what happens is we purchase the $27, the $2,700 course program thing. We're expecting that big payoff in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. When it doesn't happen, it reinforces a negative identity that we can't do this, that we're failing, that we're not ready, that we don't have the right information, that we're not the person who can make this happen for themselves. And so not only does the strategy not work, but it actually compounds all the negative pieces that we're holding in our hearts and in our heads and keeps us more stuck. And so the work that I do with my clients and that I do for myself every single day is about anchoring in to my own truth within myself. And I have like a whole system. I used to be a yoga teacher years ago. And so I'm like big on meditation and, you know, really working with the energetic systems of the body to feel into our alignment and our identity. It's like, what is my vision for this? What is my voice that wants to come through? What are my values that I can honor and portray? And what's like the vibe that I want to bring through in my brand and my business? Because when you anchor into those pieces, those undeniable pieces of yourself, your business becomes unparalleled. You are so uniquely distinct from everyone else out there. Okay. And then you really have this beautiful filter through which you make your decisions about strategy, where it's like, oh, okay, from this place of grounded centeredness, from this place of alignment with the vision that I carry and the truth I want to speak, the way I want to do it, then you know instantly, like, oh my gosh, that strategy is not going to work for me. That would feel horrible if I'd committed to doing this every single day for the rest of my business career. I don't want to be on Instagram. And yet here I am thinking that's the only way to grow an audience. It's like, oh no, I love having meaningful conversations. I should explore being a podcast host or podcast guest. Suddenly the right strategies become very self-evident when we come home to the truth of what we really want for ourselves and our businesses.
I love that. Something just sparked in my head when you said that. The idea of negative identity, I never thought about it that way, but it's true. Expectations. I always see identity or as like an expectation, right? Like you're expecting, yes, I'm going to get those 30,000 followers in 1 week because I'm paying that $27 course package. Not saying that there's anything wrong with that. You can do that. Maybe those strategies will work for you later on. But the idea that you just want to go ahead and jump the gun kind of thing, you know? So same thing in business. So think about negative identity but identity as a whole in social media. What's your identity in social media? Like, for example, the other day I found out that Instagram is not necessarily my main platform. For some reason, Pinterest is great for me. I don't know. That was random, you know, so maybe your identity in social media, it doesn't mean that that's like your particular platform. It could be maybe Pinterest. It could be TikTok. I don't know. Your identity is wherever like the people will actually follow you. Identity in business, like what kind of business person are you? What are your strengths and weaknesses? So I really like that you mentioned that. The whole expectation of like receiving all of these things. And then at the end of the day, when you don't get what you want, right? Those expectations, they just kind of like shatter your dreams, so to speak. But for those of you who don't know who you are, right? I want to explain to them, who are you specifically here to help and who are you not for?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I'm so grateful to be able to have this conversation because I think it's really important. But I'm so glad to be here. I'm Kaylin Asher. I am a business mentor for heart-led coaches. I've been doing this work specifically in the coaching industry for over 10 years now. Before that, I was in yoga. I was a yoga teacher. And that's sort of what stepped me into coaching because I approached my yoga teaching as a business. And I had a website and I was building a brand and I was pitching myself for these cool opportunities. And these other teachers who were much more seasoned than I was started coming to me of like, hey, what are you doing here? Like you're landing these cool gigs, you've got this momentum going. And so I started giving them advice about how to view their teaching in more of a business way so that they could reach more people. Mm-hmm. And that's what stepped me into coaching over a decade ago. What I am really passionate about is helping women bring their gifts to the world in a way that feels life-giving for them and for others, that it doesn't deplete them, that it doesn't force them to do things that are compromising their integrity or their values, but that they really get to do the work that feels like the work they were put here on the planet to do. But in a structure and supported by strategies that really work for them, that feel in total alignment so that their gifts get to come through and help the people that they're meant to help. And so I feel so honored to be able to come into spaces like this and talk about it and share about it because that's what my life's work is, to really support women on this journey. And at this point, you know, shared that, just turned 40 a few months ago, that it really does feel like this beautiful, I know, woohoo, Feeling really good about the 40s. I'm so excited for this decade ahead of me. But it really does feel like this full circle moment where I'm caring less what other people think. I'm caring less about other people's opinions. And it just really seems like an opportunity for me to demonstrate how to be the way shower that I'm calling other women forth to be, like really owning your voice, really speaking your truth out there in the world, doing it with integrity and alignment. And in doing that, building epic businesses that change lives, like really bringing that all full circle, going all the way back to my yoga roots of that, you know, an energetic alignment piece, because I tried in the early days to force my business forward of like, I will make it work. And I will, you know, with all the masculine energy of like, I'm going to push this forward no matter what. And I would get so down on myself when I didn't get the results that I thought I had earned for whatever reason. And now I'm so much more invested in finding things that feel simple and spacious and that really flow and fit into the life that I want to live right now with my daughters, my husband, and just having that full sense of wholeness and wealth in the mm-hmm. in that most abundant sense, not just vanity numbers anymore.
Would your ideal client be like women in coaching or women in business in general? Would it be? Mm-hmm.
At this point, I work primarily with coaches. My programs really support women who are creating coaching programs that are, you know, high ticket coaching programs, multiple thousands of dollars of people who, you know, want to work with them as the expert that they are, and creating a structure and a business that allows them to do their work while not compromising their time or their energy or their values.
Do they have to be already in the beginning stages, or is it, I could come up to you and be like, I have no idea. I don't have a business plan. I know that this is what I want to do, but I don't know how to approach it.
Yeah. At this point, I have a few different entry points. So we do have programs for the more established coaches who are like, I've been doing this for a while, but it feels like a lot of work. It's really draining my life force. Mm-hmm. How do I do this in a more sustainable way? And so that's really about stepping into that next level of clarity and leadership and mm-hmm. building an ecosystem that supports them. But we also work with emerging coaches. I would say the prerequisite is that you do identify as a coach, even if you haven't had clients yet or haven't had many clients, that you really know that you want to be in the coaching space, you know who you want to coach. You have those initial layers of clarity and that first step of identity locked in. We talked about the importance of identity, that you know this is a path for you. It's not for someone who's just like, I think I want to have a business. I want someone who feels like they've claimed that coach identity, even if it's very new for them.
Do you have a set, a schedule, a plan that you provide them besides the identity being the first step? What would be the next step for them? If this is something that they've never done before, first time they're getting into this world, how would you guide them, I guess, through the first step?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I think is so exciting about being at the beginning is we have that big, beautiful vision. And that can feel so good. And I honestly invite people to stay there and play there for a little bit. Like, don't be too hungry to jump off of that into action, because the moment you move into action, it gets real. Mm-hmm. And the restriction and the doubts and all of those things that are really important to navigate through start to come in full force. So I would say, if you are like, coaching is calling to me, I absolutely want to move in this direction, really basic would be to clarify, what is your specialty when it comes to coaching? And not just health coaching or business coaching or relationship coaching, like, go four layers deeper. Like, what makes you uniquely qualified to speak in this area? And it doesn't mean that you have to have spent years of schooling or gone through tons of certifications, but if you did something really unique and remarkable or made a big difference even in your own life, how can you approach the coaching that you want to do through the pathway with the, you know, the methodology you've created? Because that's what's really the point of distinction these days. There are so many individuals out there, coaches and otherwise, who are offering solutions similar to the solutions that I offer mm-hmm. or that other coaches would offer. But what really sets us apart is the journey we take them on within that program. So clarifying your unique selling proposition. What is the unique approach you are taking? Clarifying who this work is for. So we've got that as another layer of distinction. And it's never for everybody. Until you're really, really, really big, it of course has to be for somebody really specific so they know that you're talking to them. I mean, just think about the name of your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
9 to 5 Mom with a Pod. Like, there's like 3 layers of specification. It's just not 9 to 5 workers. It's not just moms. It's not just about podcasting. You know, like, we've got several layers. We know just from the name of your podcast who should be listening, what the approach is going to be. You know, like, there's even a little playfulness in the title. Like, we get all of that through it. And so clarifying your niche, essentially, your ideal client. And then from there, I think the first step to really start to move this work out there into the world would be to create a very simple initial offer. And usually for coaching, that means starting with a one-to-one offer. I specifically teach small intimate group offers because that's the model that just supported me better as I was having my babies. And I was like, this makes more sense. Like, let's get my 3 to 4 clients together on a call instead of having separate calls with everybody. But usually that simple offer, you're going to learn by doing much more effectively than sitting behind your computer screen with ChatGPT, iterating, and losing that alignment that we were talking about, because there's going to be these external outputs. So I think the quicker that you can move into conversation with people that resemble your ideal client, get feedback from them, get thoughts from them, practice talking about your offers, talking about your coaching, you're going to have a conversation with someone who's like, oh my gosh, this is what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to get your first client. And that is going to be that tipping point where you realize, oh my gosh, I can make money doing this. I can do work that I love. And that's when we go from just, you know, holding the identity from ourselves to seeing it reflected back to us, because we've been taking those aligned actions and following those strategic moves that came from a place of centered alignment. So in terms of those first few steps, it's like, clarify your niche, clarify your ideal client, move into conversation with people who resemble your ideal clients. It's not about pitching everyone, but rather getting their feedback, getting their thoughts, having a Zoom coffee chat, meeting at an actual coffee shop, just bouncing your ideas off of people that resemble that ideal client. And when they're ready to move forward, have something to drop them into, a little container. It could be a package of 4 sessions that you do over a month. It doesn't have to be these big complicated things you see, because often we're modeling our business in the very beginning off of someone who's been in business for 10 years with a team of 20. It doesn't work. It's like, oh, well, I should have a little $27 offer that then upsells them into this with mm-hmm. the funnel and all. It's like, no, you don't need any of that. You need to text, you need to DM, you need to email, you need to have like a Google Doc with your offer outlined on it.
Right.
Like, it could be really bare bones.
On another note, I wanted to ask you, because this is how I started. And again, you could disagree with me on this one. But when I originally started, because I didn't know this is what I wanted to do, and until I figured out what I was going to do, I started with Fiverr as a testing platform. And the only reason I did that was because my coach at the time, Laura, who's still my coach today, she told me, look, just get started on something, put an offer together. And my specific niche, just for everyone out there, when I first started the podcast and I needed something to monetize and I wasn't sure what to do, and I thought, well, coaching will be great, I used Fiverr. And then I charged like $50 an hour. And then I got 2 things out of that. I learned that I'm solving different problems for different people. every client that I've ever had had a different problem, had a different approach to things, what they wanted to do in podcasting. And number two, I realized that I didn't like it at the moment. Not that I didn't like it. I mean, I do like you said, I'm about a group person. I love groups. I want to speak to a lot of people at once. I love presentations. And one-to-one was getting a little bit, I guess because I had the podcast and I had social media and I had the coaching, I had all these distractions that didn't allow me. But if you're going to mainly focus on coaching, I think this is going to be great for you. And if you love it and it's for you, I think it's going to be amazing. Do you recommend Fiverr as a platform?
That's actually a really interesting question. It's not one that I have personally tested. And I'm curious for your experience. Were you sharing about it on the podcast or did people just find you through Fiverr?
I was not sharing it on the podcast. People were just finding me through Fiverr. But it wasn't an awfully lot of people because, again, it was very niche. It was about podcast consulting, right? Podcast coaching. And I had the only thing I say Fiverr, the only reason I bring it up is because Fiverr had a very good organizational structure. I guess if you don't even do it, I guess you could just follow the steps of Fiverr. For example, they asked me what my title was going to be, what the description, what the basic packages were going to be. Were you going to have a basic, a premium? But I think I don't think it functions as a long-term platform, but I do think to start, it sort of made me think a little bit like my wheels were turning about, I never thought about what offer I was going to put, or I never thought about what my description was going to be. And they're very limited. They're like, your description can't be like 2,000 words. Like it has to be like a minimum description, minimum packages. So it sort of taught me that. And then they also have long-term packages, like subscription packages. I never tried that one, so I can't speak on that. And I know that Upwork is another platform that does that. I don't know how they do it. I have never tried it with them, but I started that way. I started that way because I felt I didn't have any other platform. And I know there's so many platforms out there that you could probably start. But the only reason I ask is because I'm curious if, you know, with all of the content machines that are out there, like a Fiverr or like a Upwork, Udemy, I forgot what it's, Udemy, whatever. All those things exist. Do you have like a specific place where you can recommend them to go, or does it not even matter at that point?
You know, I think anything that gets you organized and gets you started is worth it. Okay. If it's between you sitting at home, thinking about it and doing nothing, or you using one of these pre-established platforms to get your work out there and hopefully connect with people and make some money. I remember back when I was doing the yoga business stuff, I used Udemy. And you know what? I still probably make a sale a month from Udemy all these years later. And I mean, the stuff's so outdated, I should probably take it down. But it's hilarious that, you know, something I built so long ago can continue to make me money. And so that's the benefit of these platforms. And I mean, especially Fiverr, Upwork, Udemy, they've all been around for a while now. So they have a reputation. People are, you know, they're used to, when they're looking for a specific solution, they're used to consulting those. And it's a trusted network in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think if it gets you essentialized in your messaging, like you said, I couldn't write my whole bio, I had to get it down to a couple sentences. If it gets you essentialized, if it gets you focused, if it gets you in practice, if it gets you in action, as long as it feels like, if you're starting to interact with it and you're like, this feels weird, this feels misaligned, then you push through. I think that's when it's not going to work. But if you're like, this is fun, look, I get to like make this place for people to land and a place that represents my work and it feels good for you, it's going to work better. So I'm all for it. I have used those platforms. Gumroad was another one. I've used those platforms over the year. I have my own like internal sales systems now, you know.
That's great.
Which is great. But to get started, building it on something that already exists, if that shortcuts it and allows you to do it without needing to hire expensive support or things like that, I'm all for it. I think whatever gets your work out there
Right.
quicker, faster, easier, in a way that feels good for you.
Yes, that was one of my points, because in this conference that I went to last weekend, I got a lot of questions about that, because I said, well, let's say you want to monetize this right now. I couldn't tell people, well, okay, well, this is what's going to be your schedule. Just get up at 6 a.m. and give yourself an iced bath, water. You know, I can't give you that routine because everyone's situation is different. And that's one of the things that I learned in that coaching platform, that when I was coaching different people, I had all different types of scenarios, people with families, people without families. I had like an actual young content creator whose whole thing was business. He has no kids. He travels all the time. He could stay anywhere, get up and go. I can't do that anymore. I can't just get up and go. My daughter goes to school. You know, there's a whole ecosystem that every individual has that I cannot tailor that to. There's not a one size fits all. I guess the idea is sort of giving everyone some type of somewhere, some type of point of where to start. Do you think, and this is my final question for all of this, do you think there's a common strategy trap that looks productive in coaching, but it's actually keeping your, like, it could be your clients or it could be people stuck?
I think one of the biggest things that is holding people back right now is the false marketing that states you're going to make tens of thousands of dollars in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Yes, I am sure that there are stories where someone went from no business and nothing to tens of thousands of dollars in a short amount of time. But what the reality is that 90% of online businesses fail within 4 months to a year. That's the reality that we're not seeing at all.
Yep.
Out there. And so what it really takes is staying power. And what's staying power, it's the result of having that internal conviction, that identity that says, I am here for this. I am all in. I am so dedicated to this movement that I am leading, this mission that I am stewarding, that even if it's hard and challenging for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, I'm going to keep going because this is so important. But when we're seeing it everywhere, that people are making millions of dollars in no time whatsoever, the snap of a finger, it becomes really destabilizing.
I love that. I love those system. Because, you know, just, yeah. it really just might, like, it just plays with your head. But I'm sorry, go on.
It does. No, and because we see that everywhere. And so one of the pieces that I am really passionate about is speaking truth around that. I was fortunate that I had a runway where I had, you know, I've been with my husband since college. And so as my business was getting started, I worked part-time jobs and I had a partner who was making money from a steady paycheck. So when I had those gaps of income for months at a time, I was not, you know, suddenly homeless. You know, we all have different scenarios. And so understanding, and you had the stabilization of a 9-to-5 while you were building your business. We have to figure out the right path for us. And for many of us, it is not quitting our jobs and walking away from everything and going all in and, you know, building this business in 9 months or 6 months or 3 months. Mm-hmm. It's like committing to every day, showing up for this. And I think, and I've seen this quote before, like, we overestimate what we can do in a month, but we underestimate what we can do in a year. And so yeah. I think we're constantly overestimating of like, I should have 10 clients by the end of the month. Mm-hmm. If I follow this plan. And the truth is, you might have 10 clients by the end of the year. And if they're each paying you $5,000, that's $50,000. We're not going to, you know, turn up our nose at that or whatever the numbers are that excite you. But we fall away after a couple months because we're so frustrated that we didn't get that quick win, because we're used to the 15-second video and the dopamine hits on social media, that we haven't built those muscles to stick with it over time. And that's why I'm so committed to talking about the truth and the reality of it, and also the importance of anchoring ourselves with identity first, anchoring internally, so we're not as rocked and destabilized by what's coming at us from the outside, especially during that that build up time, because it takes some time to build up, and you have to commit during that time.
Yes, that's true. And it goes back to identity. We circled it right back. It goes back to identity. I'm telling you, this whole podcast should be called Identity, because it's true. I can 100% relate to that. And I was very blessed that I left my 9-to-5, but I had a husband that, I have my husband. I said, bye. He's like, what are you talking about? I have a husband who is incredibly supportive and is currently working at 9-to-5. So brings in that stable income. So it's a lot easier, like you said. I feel like at least once a day, I think that I'm not cut out for this. At least once a day, I say, I don't think I'm cut out for this. Maybe I can go back. Every type of business, I don't care what it is. It's podcasting. It could be creator business. It could be coaching business. It could be any business. Any business that you get into. And I saw this YouTube video that mentioned it. You have to sell something. It's all sales. And if you always thought about, well, I'm not good at sales. I hate sales. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to stop you right there. Every single business, you're a salesperson. Because as a content creator, you're selling yourself to sponsors. You're like, hey, hire me.
Yeah.
That's all sales, which is why a lot of the content creators, they're not great at sales, but they get management teams that do the sales for them. And when you're in podcasting, it's the same thing. You know, you got to reach out to people and you got to say, hey, do you want to sponsor my podcast? This is what I can provide. This is what I can give in return. So at the end of the day, sales is a big thing. But circling back to this, so before we wrap up, I do want to say, if you're a mom out there and you have not started, you are thinking about coaching, and I know there's so many of you that would love to do coaching because you think you're really great at it or you've done it before and you just don't know where to start, please contact Kaylin. I'll provide all the links. And Kaylin, is there a specific way, where can people find you if they need to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the platform I'm on the most social media wise is Instagram, Kaylin.Asher over there. I really love connecting with my community through Instagram. Community is a really important piece of everything that I create, because I think there's such power in bringing women together. We remember we're not alone on our business journey, on this journey of life, and that we're building really remarkable things all together. And I also have a training that I recently put together. It's a 20-minute training. It takes you deeper into my approach of business building, this identity first, strategy second. It's not that we're leaving strategy off the table. It just, I've noticed it becomes really clear and apparent what simple, clean strategies are right once we've really locked in to our confidence and our identity. And you touched on the piece of sales, right? Like selling the way we teach it is, it's just a really connective conversation, because when you are so passionate about the work that you're doing, you don't feel like you have to sell it. You just want to talk about it all the time. That's why I love going on podcasts, because I get to talk about what I love. And hopefully for the right people that are feeling lit up by it, they're going to come check me out and hang out in my world a little bit and see if my approach can be the approach that really shifts things for them. So that's available through my website. I'll share the link with you, of course, so they can grab it.
No, that's wonderful. For all of you out there, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Again, I apologize about my stuffiness. I've been sick, so, but I made it. I made it here. But everyone out there, thank you again for listening. And until next time, please get a hold of Kaylin ASAP. See you later.